Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Consequence Podcast Network.
In 2013, the Boston Calling Music Festival launched as a spring and fall festival. Years later, it still pumps out some of the best lineups of the entire season. So for the first time ever on the What Podcast, we're going to spend an entire episode dedicated to Boston Calling. What do we need to know? Who do we need to see? Diving deep on one of the unheralded music festivals of the year, Boston Calling, today on the What Podcast. Lord Taco, Barry Corder, Brad Steiner, it starts right now.
Welcome back into the What Podcast, which bands this year that matter. There's Lord Taco back at it. Nice to see you, buddy.
Yes, all rinsed out. All rinsed out.
All dried up.
We'll see.
I can't wait to hear how that week went.
I don't know if I believe. There's Barry Corder. Barry Corder, looking like you just got a fresh cut. Did Barry Corder just get a fresh cut?
I've got this Boris, what's his name? The English
Boris
guy?
Yeltsin?
No, what's it? The Johnson? I don't know what's
Boris Johnson,
here.
Yes. I was about to say, if you're making a Boris Yeltsin reference, we have gotten way too old.
That's how old I am. Yeah, you remember the Czar?
The Czar. How's everybody doing?
Good.
First time the whole team's been together in a while.
Yeah, I really didn't want to hear about Taco's trip.
Oh, yeah. Taco came to New Orleans, and my job was to take him to every dive bar in the city. And I think we did it.
I think we missed a few, so I'll have to come back for another round.
I really do love the spirit.
Yeah.
The guy's got a never-ending attitude. He never wants to stop, and that's what's going to make him successful.
One of these days, I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
I did hear you you broke out a little bit. You had not only your regular 12-ounce, but a couple of 16-ounces and some draft.
That's right. I tried all the flavors.
It was crazy. You went crazy down there, I heard.
Draft, cans, bottles, 12, 16.
He tried so many different variations of PBR. At this point, it better be Russ Blue Ribbon. They just should change the name to Russ Blue Ribbon.
You know, if you're going to go to New Orleans, you might as well go all out. So I respect you for it.
He went all out, showed boobs. It was nuts. Oh, yeah. It was nuts. Slept on the floor, too, like a real New Orleanian. He said, screw it. This looks good to me.
We were worried about you on Monday because we couldn't find you.
Couldn't find
you. Yeah, I overslept Monday. Sorry about that.
Well, we were afraid you were like, you know, on the side of a road or a ditch or.
So if you don't know, Lord Taco being in North Georgia, Barry Corder's in Chattanooga, I'm in New Orleans. And for the first time, one of my podcast pals came and visited me. Now, I knew it would never be Barry Corder because Barry has not left the state since the 80s. So luckily got Russ to come down. And it was your first time since when? You hadn't been here in a while.
First time I went to New Orleans was 2013, and we just did all the typical Bourbon Street
hurricanes, all the tourist stuff, we never really ventured far out of that. So this time I actually got to go into the all the side neighborhoods and all the where the locals go.
And what Taco said that I love so much when he got here, he's like, every neighborhood, it's just like house, 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 bar, house, 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 bar, house, 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 bar. And that's really the way I love, the thing I love the most about it is all the great spots are just in between a couple of houses.
Whereas,
I love that.
Whereas here it's house, 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 church, house, 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 church. What's the difference?
The trip was actually a lot of fun. Russ is one of these guys that, he can fit into any shape you pour him into, right? So it doesn't matter what you decide to do. He's always game for it. And
I'm
so
very flexible.
Yeah. So when I say, so should we go to this bar? His answer is, yeah, we should do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very last minute decision because Kelsey was the one who decided to go. And she was like, hey, I'm got some days off. I'm going to go. You want to go? I'm like, can't say why not. So,
and I need someone
in
to drive.
The car with her. And yeah, well, I ended up driving her, but either way. But yeah, she was like, oh, I want to go to this store and this restaurant and this fancy place and this.
It became a shopping trip for her. And so what are me and you going to do?
Exactly. So I was just like, well, yeah, whatever. Let's go to a bar.
Yeah, let's go start drinking.
Start drinking.
We did the quarter. We did a day in the quarter and we bounced around. And I think that Taco's favorite place is a place called the Golden Lantern. He was a big fan of the Golden Lantern.
It was nice. It was.
Yeah. And then,
cheerful.
And then I took him, Barry, to the White Whale, the Grand Poobah, the greatest of the great, the greatest bar in the world. I will put everything that I have on it. The greatest place on the planet, and that's what, Taco?
Pals
Lounge, yes.
Is that the one right near you?
Yes, it's near me, and it's gotten to the point where when, we go to move and buy a house, it will be within 500 yards, draw a circle around Pals, because I cannot leave favorite spot in the world.
Is that where you did the challenge?
No, that was at Snake and Jake's.
Yeah. So then the next night we do the Pals thing, and Pals is, to me, just the best bar on the planet. And then
Let's go back. Yeah, why?
Sure. Why? Okay. Yeah. Well, Taco, you start, because I bloviate a lot and I don't want to like oversell it. So let's see what Taco has to say about Pals Lounge.
Not that you have already.
Why would I ever do that?
Pals serves PBR. So I'm sorry.
I mean, that was a given, but go ahead.
Yeah.
They've got a great jukebox. They have one of the best dive bar bathrooms that I've seen.
Yeah.
They've got great art on the walls.
I'm going to need more detail. What's on the jukebox that makes it special, and what's special about this bathroom?
Yeah. So first off, a couple of things. I am doing I think I'm going to start. Well, not going to start. I've already started, but I'm going to make a dive bar bathroom field guide of New Orleans that is just pictures of great dive bar bathrooms in the city. And I wanted to basically be a guide to the crown jewels. And to me, the great dive bar bathrooms, the great dive bars in this world have great bathrooms, and they can't be clean. They can't be pristine and, filled with beautiful tile and stainless steel. No, they got to have character. They've got to have.
They don't have the glass bowl sink.
No, I don't want a glass bowl.
And the waterfall.
Sink the waterfall. Yeah, I don't want that. I want
character. Okay, that's not it.
No, I want character. I want it to be its own entity, right? And I want it to be the thing that, like, just by looking at it, that's that place. I've gone around the city and I've taken some of like 150 photos of dive bar bathrooms. And I want to do a picture field guide of the great dive bar bathrooms in New Orleans, because there's so many. When I walked into the Pals bathroom, it's the crown jewel. It's the greatest.
Angels started singing and all that.
It's close. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to tell you what's adorning the walls. I don't want to tell you how you walk into the bathroom, because it's just such a glorious space. That in and of itself is such a great part of it. The jukebox, Barry. Oh my God. You go from Dolly Parton to Prince And it's so hand curated by the people that work there. And that's the other thing that's important to me about a great dive bar. It's got to have a great jukebox, and it cannot be touch tunes. You cannot give me a Spotify playlist. It's got to be hand curated by the people that work there.
Okay.
And Taco was there on a very special day because I had gotten to the jukebox, and I always have like a pretty good idea of what my set's going to be. Right. And so I get to the jukebox and I notice they've added the very first ever B-52 CD.
Oh,
I was
nice.
So excited. It was a new edition. When you get a new edition nice. With jukebox in 2022, it's like it's Christmas morning. And so I'm so excited. I've got a new song I'm going to add to the playlist. It's the first song in that first album. I love that song so much. So I put it on track one, hit play, and the damn thing just starts skipping.
Oh, no.
I mean, we missed it.
It's a CD
song. And so the next day, me and Taco go to record stores and try and find the B-52 CD so that we can replace it into the jukebox. And so I talked to the girl who runs the place, and I said, so I went to find a new CD for the jukebox. And she said, no. We will curate the jukebox. Like, no, I don't want to give you a new CD. I want to replace the CD that you already have. And she's like, oh. Okay, I can.
Nice.
I just love the care that they're willing to put into this jukebox. That no, you're not putting something in that we don't approve. I love that.
They also followed me on Instagram. That's the only bar that we went to that followed me on Instagram.
Nice.
It's a big deal.
So, real quick, my nephew opened a bar here in Chattanooga called Lo Main. It's on Main Street, and he has a really good. Graham has an unbelievable taste, so he's curated their soundtrack. But we had a board meeting for a group that I'm on, and it was a 4 o'clock meeting. And on the TV, well, on the jukebox, they were playing Slade, which was pretty cool to begin with. But on the TV, they were playing A Clockwork Orange, the unedited version.
Yeah,
so you can imagine.
That's another good. That's a good pull because in Pals. All they do is show like really old campy horror movies.
Well, Star Trek was on the one other time we were there, early Star Trek, but you can imagine a board meeting with you had half the table with their backs to the TV and the other half facing it. So I was watching
staring
the ones
up.
With their back because you could see the faces. Because if you've never seen the movie, it's pretty graphic. The rape scenes and the brute.
There is a really good, this is a mark of a really great bar, right? I don't like TVs and bars. Because it's distracting, and the whole point of being there is to have a conversation, chit chat, whatever. But if you're gonna have TVs in there, there could be major sporting events happening in this city. There could be Saints games happening, and they've still got goofy horror movies, the kitschy horror movies from the 80s still on. They do not care.
Go to one of the chain places.
What did we watch at Milan? Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
Nice.
Beetlejuice one day. Yeah. It's great. So anyway, we do that one day. Then the next night we decide to take Taco to the legendary Snake and Jake's, where if you are a new Bonnaroovian, you don't know this, but for years and years and years, because of the roots of Bonnaroo being in New Orleans and half of the organization being from New Orleans, Superfly, they brought some of the New Orleans flair to the festival. The first few years, there was a second line that always happened on Thursday. You know, there was always sort of a parade that happened. And then there was the Snake and Jake's Christmas Barn inside Centeroo. Well, that is from an actual place here in New Orleans. And, you know, if you didn't already know that, there's no possible way that you would know it, because when you walk up to Snake and Jake's, it is the tiniest bar you've ever seen in your life. So if you didn't know that Snake and Jake's was already a pre-existing space in this world, walking up to it in Bonnaroo, it's like, oh, there's just this weird place called Snake and Jake's. So Taco, tell Barry your experience with the actual Snake and Jake's.
It was good. The lighting was good. The bathroom's good.
The lighting, by the way, it's pitch black with nothing but red lights everywhere.
I look great. I look great.
Everything's
in
just red. Yeah.
Yeah. And your first night at Snake and Jake's, you did what?
We did the PBR challenge.
PBR challenge. The bartender was so excited about this. We put three beers up against each other. One was a High Life, one was a PBR, and then one was a
Schlitz.
Schlitz. That's right. We tried to get hams. We actually tried to get hams for the kids, but no can do. So we get the Schlitz. We get the High Life, and Taco is ready to go. I mean, he's never been more confident in anything in his life. And then what happened?
I picked High Life.
Happy had to go through twice. I listened.
I went back and forth.
I'm proud of you for not only, you know, telling this story, but coming on this show and telling this story, because you must be ashamed.
It's the walk of shame. This is the walk of shame for time.
I'm not ashamed. I got three free beers.
Wait a second. The Schlitz you gave to me because you hated it so much.
No, I drank the Schlitz.
I thought you gave me the Schlitz. Oh, I had a lot of Schlitz.
You had a Schlitz. Schlitz also brewed by Pabst, by the way.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, there we go. Hey, we have guests.
Okay. We got some guests. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello.
Good. How are you guys? I'm
doing super.
We're doing good. Right. We're talking dive bars.
Yeah, we kind of got sidetracked into dive bars.
Yeah, we haven't talked festivals at all yet. We're talking dive bars. So what is your, how do you guys define a dive bar? What's your favorite?
Dark, dank, out of the way.
Hole in the wall.
Yeah. Not a lot of selection.
Yeah. And it's got to be cheap.
Yeah, very cheap.
Yeah. That's rule number one.
Yeah, you nailed it. And to me, you're not going to be a real dive bar unless you have the appropriate bathroom. And if your bathroom is not divey and gross and a little bit seedy and, you know, it's got critters running around in the corners, I don't buy it. I think you're parading around and trying to say that you're a diver. There's a dive bar here in town that we affectionately say has gotten huzzied up. So they put a new coat of paint on the outside and they painted the inside. Now the drinks are still cheap. They're still strong and it's still open 24 hours, but you walk into the bathroom and they've painted the damn thing purple and put Prince pictures all over the place.
Nice.
You're not a dive bar anymore.
No,
you're not a dive bar.
We decided that the glass bowl sinks and waterfall faucets. You're out. You're out. Yeah.
The Olive Garden is a bigger dive bar than you are at this point.
So
the reason why we had, by the way, introduce our guest there, Barry, and then we'll get the show actually going. We spent plenty of time.
Actually, let Taco. Taco has met these folks. So
I did. Yeah. Good to see you again. Yeah. We ran into each other at the Mark Rubelli show. Loop Daddy in Chattanooga.
That was pronunciation that I've heard.
I don't think I've gotten it right any time.
I don't know what it is.
It's pronounced Merck.
Okay. Merck. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Good point.
But Bonnaroo got canceled and, you know, we went to the Mini Roo up in Winchester and me and David Bruce, I am Bonnaroo. We decided to take a trip to Chattanooga and see that Loop Daddy show and ran into these guys and then met up afterwards and went to a bar and just had a good night. So, and y'all are from Knoxville, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. We were just looking for something to do after Bonnaroo got canceled. So that's how we ended up.
Of course. Yeah. And, what made you pick Chattanooga? Just something to do or?
Well, Mark was actually the first of the artists, after everything got canceled that had the complete show lineup ready to go. And we were like, well, you know, we really wanted to see him at Bonnaroo. So let's do it.
They really pulled that show out quick.
Yeah. It was within minutes. I think.
The reason why we wanted to have you guys on and forgive us for doing a little background here real quick is because we wanted to spend this episode talking not about dive bars, but about Boston Calling.
Right.
Last week we were going through festival lineup after festival lineup. And then it struck me every single year, Boston Calling just, it feels like they just hit home run after home run. And, you know, you do a little bit of digging and you start realizing that this festival is quite well done. And the thing that I didn't know, Barry, Boston Calling, completely independent operation. In 2013, they started, and I didn't know this either, they started as a fall spring festival. So they did two of them. And it all began because Aaron Desner from The National said, I don't know, let's do a thing. Now, I don't know how a Cincinnati kid part-time Cincinnati, part-time New York, then finds himself in Boston curating a music festival lineup. But go to 2013. Go to 2014, go to the fall of 2014. There is not a lineup that they have curated that is not incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now, the thing that I don't know anything about is The grounds, I know they changed facilities somewhere in the, you know, 2014 or 15, I don't know. They changed at some point and went to a new place. I don't know anything about the grounds. I have only been to Boston once. So we wanted to sort of, you know, fill in the blanks of what Boston Calling is, because I tell you, you know, it got my attention last year, it got my attention the year before, it got my attention before that, but it must be a Southern thing that because we have Shaky Knees and we have Bonnaroo, these sort of Northeastern festivals just go right by us, Barry, and we don't pay any attention to them.
Yeah. Well, you and I talked about it a little bit on the show. And then, Jessica sent us an email and, basically said, you should check it out. So, being clever like I am, I said, come on the show and tell us about it. So that's why you're here.
Clever is saying, can someone else do the work for me? That's the cleverness.
Yes.
That's how I live my life too.
Yeah. Let somebody else do the heavy lifting. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Well, let's go start, ahead.
Yeah. So let's start. Yeah. And go.
And go.
Talk to you in 45 minutes. Well. So, yeah, so tell me, so you guys have been.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So why did you choose this festival? What year did you go? And what was the reason for it?
Well, it's kind of twofold. I have family up there, so it's easy for me to go visit. But I really wanted to go. We went in 2018. And the reason I like them is because you can get different regional acts you don't see here in the Southeast. They were actually, Belly was part of the lineup that year. You know, the alt rock band Belly, with Tanya Donnelly from the Throwing Muses. She was one of my favorites. And, that's why I wanted to go see the band to begin with. But then I talked to my cousins and we just all decided to go. And, you know, Boston's a fun place to visit.
Yeah. It was just really one of those, it kind of met the moment at that time. And it was like, well, you know, we have a big gap in between them because I've only been going to festivals for 3 or 4 years now, officially, since a lot of things have been canceled. But, yeah, it felt right. And then especially for last year when everything was supposed to happen again, we had signed up to go to the 2021 and then, you know, that got pushed out. So,
okay, well, let's start with just basic setup. Where is the festival held? And how far outside of the city center is it?
Well, it's moved. Like you said, it used to be downtown, but they moved it out to the Harvard Athletic Fields. So it's right to the west of Boston, you know, over near Cambridge and it's in Alston. It's just south of Cambridge, but it's totally accessible. It's on their subway system, the T. You could easily get to the festival from anywhere else. And I think that's one of the draws because it's in a city that's pretty accessible for other areas.
So close enough to be considered a city fest, huh?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I would call it like a suburb almost of Boston.
Yeah.
I think you said in your email, it's very walkable. Yeah. You just, mm-hmm. you hit it, but also the trains, the T get you there. It's pretty easy. So, I mean, how close are you able to stay, you know, hotel wise and all that?
See, that's different for us because the way
you have family, right?
Yeah, we stayed with family and then just took the train into town. So it was a lot easier.
But I'd say it's pretty accessible. I mean, because of the subway system, obviously you could stay in Cambridge or Somerville or anywhere along the subway line and it'd be a pretty easy ride and then walk to the festival.
When are they wanting you out? When is the sort of like shutdown time?
It does end at about 11, yeah. You know, like most cities.
Normal sure. city festival.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. So when you walk in, what is the setup like? And could you compare it to any other festival that is the same sort of size?
It actually reminds me a lot of Shaky Knees in that like all of the way the acts are set up and the stages are set up, it's very back to back to back. So you go from one show to the next show to the next show. Like there mm-hmm. is no really downtime.
And how many stages are there? 3, 4?
I think there's 4 this year for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plus they have the athletic complex that they'll do comedy shows or, you know,
in the hockey arena. Yeah. So it's air conditioned. People like to go in there.
It's nice.
So kind of like the old comedy tents that they had at Bonnaroo.
Well, wait a second. Is the weather bad in March? Is it, wait a second. It's not in March. When
it's
is
Memorial
it?
Day weekend.
Okay. Yeah. So. But is it hot in Boston in Memorial Day?
It depends.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
We've been when it's been warm, but then it also can be cold and rainy. Yeah. You know, it's the Northeast.
Yeah.
Interesting. And you, just to give people an idea, you've been to Bonnaroo. How many times have you been to Bonnaroo?
I've been 6 times, and Reggie's been
twice officially, 3 or 4 times. Unofficially.
What does that
tried.
Mean?
Like,
you struck in or you didn't get in or what?
No, there's this thing called COVID, Barry.
Yes.
Right. Oh, I got you.
I was gonna
say, you're not telling your boss you went.
Is it your first day? We had this little pandemic.
I got you. What other festivals have you been to? You Shaky Knees, I assume?
Yes, Shaky Knees, Lollapalooza. Mm-hmm. We've been overseas to Mad Cool and Rock Werchter. Mm-hmm.
No kidding. You did Mad Cool, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Mad Why cool. in the world did you choose that?
Like so
the line that year was.
Nope. I agree.
Yeah. Whatever he said.
The lineup that year in 2018, that was the same year that we went to Boston Calling. It was really set up so well. It was a slam dunk of a lineup.
Who was on it? What was the draw?
Let's see. So we had Depeche Mode, Queens of the Stone Age, Nine Inch Nails, Alice in Chains.
Yeah, but this is in Madrid. So yeah. I have to say, how in the hell are you guys getting all this time off?
Well,
it's what we use for our vacations.
Yeah, it's just our yearly vacation. So it's kind of blocked out the time of like, don't expect us to be here for about a week.
Do you guys set out to do like an international festival, or did this one just make too much sense and work out perfectly?
It made a lot of sense because also at the time we had a friend that lived in Belgium. And so it ended up that we were going to just go straight to Madrid. And then it's like, well, you know, how often are we going to do this? So then we bounced to Barcelona, Belgium, Turkey eventually happened during that trip. So
yeah. Barry, if you don't know, these are foreign countries.
So I can't get there from here.
You're not going to be able to drive. No,
no, I'm not going.
Barry historically doesn't leave the state of Tennessee.
Can I see him? Can I see him from my basement? No, so you guys would be tour. you're the perfect person to ask. Can you compare them? How do they compare? And I mean, not necessarily rate, though. If you can rate them, that would be okay. But it's the comparison I'm more interested in.
It is a lot more efficient.
What
I guess
mean?
Is the best way to say it.
Which
what do you
ones?
Mean?
Which
both of them actually, Rock Werchter and Mad Cool.
Oh, the ones overseas.
Yeah, the ones overseas. For Boston Calling, I would rank it about at the same level as Shaky Knees, just as far as the ease of being able to get to it. But, you know, it's a normal city festival in that way, but it's kind of in the heart of the city.
Well, so hang on a second. You said I've always had this feeling that there is a massive difference between an international festival and an American festival. What do you mean by more efficient?
I would say it's because they've been around for so long. Yeah. They just know, you know,
they know it works.
Yeah. So for comparison, this is something we only saw overseas. It was crazy. They actually had people walking around with backpacks, these large backpacks full of beer, and they would come around and they could fill your cup while you're waiting in the crowd.
So you didn't have to leave.
Yeah. That's what Taco did. Wow. That's Taco.
Yeah. That's what we sort of the same thing. But,
Yeah, when we get into the whole sharing. That's brilliant.
Why don't we do that here?
We have a taco for that.
So beer efficiency. What else? What else is efficient about it that you like? Do you feel like the setup is better?
Yes, the stages were set up where there wasn't a lot of sound bleed. I think there was one issue that one of the bands that was supposed to be at Mad Cool didn't actually play because sound bleed from where they were, but that had to do with the tent issue of just where it was located. But other than that, they also had a craft beer and cocktail area at Rock Werchter that it was closed off. So they actually gave you glass. Yeah. They gave you glassware to actually use, but you could only use it in that area.
And Brad, that sounds like the bourbon tent in Louisville when, when you embarrassed me in front of Ashley Capps.
I did not embarrass you in front of Ashley Capps. I said something true and you agreed. And then we hugged.
We all hugged it out. It was fine.
Well, I was going to say we hugged Brittany Howard. Are the grounds bigger, or do they take up more space? Is that because the sound bleed is better there because they have a lot more accessible areas? What is it about the International Festival, Mad Cool especially, that doesn't have, you know, the sound issues?
I think it's the way they set up the stages, because they're kind of perpendicular, and it's the direction that the sound is going, and the way that they move the bands in and out, it's always facing a different way, but you don't have to walk very far. We literally were watching Depeche Mode on one stage, turned around, and Nine Inch Nails was starting. We didn't
have to move at all.
our Moon River Festival is like that. And I was just thinking, we have a band here in town called Glass Hammer, which is an internationally known prog rock band. And they did a European festival 3 years ago, I guess. And I was stunned to hear them tell me that basically it's a city-run festival. They literally fence off the entire city, and it shuts down for that weekend. And once you buy your ticket, you're in. You're in that little small town. That's not what you're talking about, right? It's bigger than that.
Rockwerchter was definitely like that. You were kind of
that's so weird. That's so cool.
Yeah, and they had camping there. We didn't. We actually biked to the festival in that situation.
But they did have camping, and it reminded me a lot of Bonnaroo when we were walking through it. Mm-hmm. And I know Bonnaroo was, designed to be kind of like a European festival. So it did remind me a lot of that.
So first off, you know, we haven't even said this. I mean, thanks for joining us, and thanks for jumping on and doing this for, talking about festivals. And I'm surprised that we haven't talked about Bonnaroo with you before, but specifically about Boston Calling, you guys can have an opinion about this if you want. I mean, if you don't, it's no problem, but I wonder if there's a reason this thing is always so well done, and it's because it's an independent operation, Barry. You know, when the conglomerates start taking over a lot of these festivals, you know, you get a lot of the same things happening in every part of the country. And Boston Callings still maintain their independence here. I wonder if that has helped the overall feel of that thing always seeming to be a tad different than everything else.
Yeah, I can't disagree. It goes back to what we've been trying to get at, I think, for this whole time we've been doing this show, is what's the mission? You know, what's the purpose for doing it? And the ones that seem to be doing it well have a really clear mission. And whatever that is, you know, we talked about last week, Forecastle seems to have hit a home run with younger fans. It's maybe not for us, but it's hit a home run with a certain group. And I think the ones that know what they want to do and are able to do it are the ones that, you know, seem to do it right every year.
When you guys are there, do you sense it's mostly locals, or is it a good mix of out-of-towners too?
I would say it's a good mix. Yeah. Definitely a lot more locals, but...
Well, it's a college town, and it's Memorial Day weekend, so I feel like there are a lot of kids there since it's the end of the semester. But there are a lot of people that travel too.
But it doesn't feel young?
No.
No, not really.
Yeah. No, there's people of all ages. You know, there's a lot of grad schools there, and then, you know, we're a bit older and
professors are there.
Right.
Because for comparison,
how can you tell the patches on the on the jacket.
It's the reading glasses, Barry. It's their,
so walking around like this.
Yeah. They've got a monocle. The thing about the shaky knees comparison is interesting because, and this is no fault of theirs, but shaky knees, even though it's a really well done, I actually like shaky knees a lot. And, you know, they've really dialed into exactly what they want to be the last few years. I do feel like it's still sort of young. I feel like the shaky knees crowd is just inherently young, mainly because, you know, maybe it's just Atlanta, but boy, nothing is as young as I've ever seen as Lollapalooza. I think it feels like the average age is like 16 and a half at Lollapalooza. I've never been around. I'm the most geriatric person in the entire crowd. It feels very odd. So I wonder, does it feel that young?
No, like Lollapalooza?
Okay.
Yeah. And having been to Lollapalooza the one time, I would agree. I think I was a little taken aback by how young it skewed.
Well, I was actually told, and I don't really want to get into it, but the amount of beer that they sell is actually not even close to any other festival in the portfolio because the crowd is that young. They told me the average age one year, and it would stun you. It would stun you.
Oh, I believe it.
Maybe I'm trying to ask you guys Brad's question. I mean, because do you go to Boston Calling because you have family there, because of the lineup, and do you think it would do well numbers wise, ticket sales wise, no matter what the lineup was, because it's Memorial Weekend and it's a college town and those sorts of things?
I would think it has a lot to do with the lineup and just the overall makeup of the lineup and the location of it, with it being so walkable.
So it's everything. It's a combination of all the things.
Okay. Yeah. And it was always one of those festivals that was, on our agenda to eventually hit. It just kind of matched up with her having family there. So that kind of took away that additional stress of, you know, where are you going to stay? Because you got to put your body somewhere at night. So
I would say it's definitely the lineup too, because I do feel like they do pick their lane and try to skew it towards the audience that they want. And, it may skew towards college age kids. But I think it's just an overall lineup is always strong. Yeah. Like we bought our tickets when they first went on sale for the pre-sale, cause we thought Rage Against the Machine was going to be there. We were going to have a family reunion with my cousins to all go see Rage. But, you know, even with them unfortunately having to drop out, I feel like it's a solid lineup, and it has been most years.
And what is the ticket price like?
It's around like $330.
It's still high.
Oh, that's high. It didn't start that way. They had their same tiers, kind of like Bonnaroo. I think it started around like $250.
Yeah, I think they were about $250.
In comparison, I wonder what the shaky knees ticket is, Barry. I don't know off the top of my head. I wonder though, and if you don't have any answer to this, that's fine. First off, I think that you get a lot of help when you have somebody like Aaron curating the festival with you. You know, you can call in a lot of favors when you've got him making the calls. But the second thing is, I wonder why, and if you had any, like, I wish that I could talk to somebody from Boston Calling. I wonder why they went from two weekends to one. I wonder if there was like a strategic reason, maybe a financial reason, whatever. I love this idea of it being curated two times a year and then, getting two completely different lineups that way. You know, Coachella, of course, does the two weekends and, you know, that's fine. But boy, it's really interesting because we argue, and we didn't argue, but we did hear rumblings, Barry, years ago that Bonnaroo wanted to do two different festivals a year. And they wanted to do a Bonnaroo spring and a Bonnaroo fall. Then that transitioned to, well, maybe it'll be Bonnaroo and then a country Bonnaroo. And then it became Bonnaroo and a hard rock Bonnaroo.
That fall one never got never got legs.
Never got off the ground. And but
real quick,
but
to your question, GA.
But there's a reason why they don't do it, and I wonder what it is.
Yeah, it didn't work.
I'm talking about Boston College. There's a reason why they don't do two weekends, and I don't know. Maybe because it's financial stuff. I don't know. Maybe the answer is really simple. I just don't know what the answer is.
Well, I would also wonder if it has to do a lot with the timing of coming in with Memorial Day and some of the students, because I imagine that's a lot of their audience is trying to grab those students before they head off to do whatever they need to do for the rest of the summer. And so I guess they just kind of just condensed it to one weekend, really concentrate and focus on getting the best they can, because it seems like, especially looking at like Coachella, how they have their two weekends, that seems a little easier for them to manage. I don't know with on the scale of Boston College if that's something that they can contain, having all of those same artists stay in that area.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to find somebody to ask. But to your question, Brad, shaking knees, the GA is 205 GA plus, and I don't know what the difference is 430.
So,
yeah. And then on up. The three-day ultimate pass is 7,500. So I'm going to put us down for two.
Yeah, go ahead. Why two? Make it six.
Well, Russ can sleep on the floor.
I think that I'm sorry to be completely out of touch here, and I'll get roasted for this, but when did the prices get this high? When did the rent get so damn high? The rent's too damn high. Is this a new thing? Were the prices this high 2 years ago before the pandemic?
Yeah.
They weren't as high, I will say, though, because last year when we were going to go to Bonnaroo, it was going to be our first VIP experience, because we were like, you know, what the heck, let's go for it. And then when they announced the prices for this year, we were like, that's out of the range.
A little stiff. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the experiences keep going up.
What was the price?
I want to say
I think it was like $1,200 a ticket.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They have 1200 and they have a 3,500 VIP ticket too.
Well, all said and done though. I mean, you're going to spend $1,200, $2,000 on a trip to Boston for the weekend. When it's all said and done. Yeah. Even if you do have friends that you can stay with, you're still going to be spending a good chunk. What are you doing at night? Are there any after shows around town at Boston College?
There's a lot of food. We actually meant to look up to see if they did after shows or not, because I don't remember that we did any last time we were there.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, that they have some kind of after shows. And it's, again, really easy to navigate. So
what did you guys do?
We ate and ran the train and stumbled home.
Yeah, yeah. Just lots of different pubs and good restaurants. Just lots of good food.
When you go even to the European ones and Boston as well, are you the type to get there as soon as the gates open, or you get there when your first favorite band, or depends?
Kind of just get there when you feel like it, really, because there's so much to do in the area surrounding it. Like, I think for most of the days we would go and have a drink outside of the grounds, because one, it was cheaper, two, the selection's better. And so it was like, well, you know, the band that we want to see comes on at 3 o'clock, so let's wander over when we all feel like it.
Yeah, we go to museums and such too. Yeah. There's always, you know, something to find to do while we're.
Do they have PBR in museums?
That's a good question. I need to do some more research.
Yeah,
Taco.
I don't think so.
Too bad.
I'm gonna say no.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Darn.
Well, this is
why don't go.
I mean.
That's why.
That's why.
I am very intrigued. The only catch that I have with this is, and this is totally, I mean, it's nobody but me. I'm partial to the cities that I already travel to for work. So the Nashvilles, the Chicagos, New York's, LA's, Austin, like those are the cities that I just gravitate to. And I just don't, there's not a time in my life, aside from one time when we were driving through, that I said, you know, I should go to Boston. I'm assuming that the Red Sox are not in town usually a Memorial Day weekend because of this, or are they in town like the Cubs are for Lollapalooza? Because I always like to grab a Cubs game when I go to Lollapalooza. I wonder if you could do the same thing with the Red Sox.
I think you might be accommodated.
Yeah, I feel like that they do have a game around that time, yeah. Usually.
Okay. I mean, I'm really intrigued. I really want to go because there's something about this festival that just keeps... Look, I mean, when you realize that there's some serious names that are part of this, and it's a completely independent operation that's been now 9 years strong, Barry, there's something that's really, really intriguing about going to this that it's just been stuck in my head for the last few weeks.
Yeah, I agree. And I love listening to Jessica and Reggie because they have such the comparisons. I mean, you've been to all kinds of different ones, right? From not just Bonnaroo, which is a camping, to the Boston, which is a city, to Shaky Knees, to the European one. So do you have a favorite, or they all have their advantages and you like them all, or differently?
That's hard to say. Bonnaroo still hits so different than everything else that it's hard to keep it in that same category as other festivals, especially other city festivals, because they have their own kind of caveats of...
Yeah, it's like apples and oranges. You really can't compare. Yeah. So I mean, Bonnaroo is its own thing, and that'll always be the top because we've been going and we love it.
Did I miss somewhere? Where do you guys live?
Knoxville.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, Bonnaroo is easy for you.
Yeah.
Right.
If Bonnaroo wasn't near you, would you be trekking it every year?
Not every year. It would definitely be lineup dependent, and it's
Barry,
getting more so.
Barry, I'm telling you, you know, I thought that, you know, living there, I didn't think that living there was going to be the reason why I went to Bonnaroo every year, but, you know, not living there makes me really start looking around and say, do I really want to go and spend
an effort?
It's a week. It's an entire week.
Easy drive from Knoxville. It seems like it would be, but it's not, is it?
Not really.
You got to come down here and then go up.
Yeah. And having to load the car and then prepare. Well, and yeah.
Yeah. It's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Is there the same, you have family in Boston, so that's a little bit different, but do you get the same sense of community? I mean, the fact that you guys met with Taco at the show and came down here, I mean, what happened this year was, to me, so indicative of why Bonnaroo is special. I mean, Brad and Russ and David Bruce, who drove down from New Jersey, and Nick, who's in our camp, we all ended up on my front porch, you know, that Saturday.
Well, that's because we knew you weren't going to leave the house.
Well,
it's the only way we could see you.
It's the only way we were going to see Dad, is if we went to you.
It was awesome. But there were so many little mini roos, is what I'm getting at. Do you get the sense that there's anything like that from these others?
Some, yes.
Yeah, I would say yes.
I saw heads going.
I went all over the place. I was like, man.
I think that community is everywhere. I think sometimes you have to look for it. When we went to Mad Cool, we stayed in a hostel in Madrid. And that was cool. Very much like Bonnaroo, because you've got a bunch of people that are all there for the same reason. And we met other festival goers and spend time with them. I think though, it just depends. Like city festivals, it's easy to just stay in your hotel room and, you know, maybe not interact as often and as much with festival goers until you get there. Mm-hmm. I think you just may have to go look for it a bit more.
Yeah. It seems a lot easier at Bonnaroo, mostly because when you're there, you're all there. There is nothing else for you to do.
It's like I've heard that before. Where did that come from? Let me write that down. When you're there.
I'm going to try to remember that.
You're there.
But at the other city festivals, you do get that sense of community. It's just the fact of, you know, at the end of the day at 11 o'clock or midnight or whatever it is, you all kind of just go your separate ways right. and hope you come back the next day the same way. So,
Gotcha.
Well, I mean, this has been tremendously informative, and I appreciate you guys' perspective. And like Barry said, finding out that you guys go to, you know, every festival, it seems like up and down the line, that's pretty impressive. Why no Coachella?
Ooh. still working up to it.
Yeah. I know. This is the first year I've dabbled with the idea of going, just because I think it's so impossible to wrap my head around something so completely, so far away and so completely out of my comfort zone. And I don't have anywhere to stay. I don't feel comfortable, you know, flying, you know, my entire, you know, diva like, you know, wardrobe over to California to camp. I don't want to stay in LA and drive down there the entire time. So I've been just waiting for the moment that somebody just had a house that I could, you know, bunk in. And I stumbled upon someone who does for the first time. And, you know, I don't know, Barry. I don't know. Even with that possibility, I still have this like odd feeling of whether, do I even want to do this? Do I really want to go to Coachella? I don't know.
Maybe the lineup, the right lineup will get you there.
I mean, I do love Harry Styles.
You don't even go.
I mean, Harry Styles is great.
They have good restaurants in LA, I hear.
Turns out, yeah, you know, you're never going to see him.
I'm talking about you, because yeah. You're not going to go see the music anyway.
No. I'll be well into the city. Well, that's going to be the problem. Like, I want to see, that's the other thing about Coachella. Follow my logic here. I'll get a house in the Valley or wherever the festival is, but I'll still be going to LA every afternoon and evening for dinners. So where should I stay here?
That's why it's really tricky for you.
It's really, really tricky for me. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for not only being a fellow Bonnaroovian, for being on the show, talking to us about Boston Calling. It's very informative, and I can't wait to see you guys if we do at Bonnaroo. All right.
We hope to see you too. We're big fans of your shows.
So. We're big fans of you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. This was great.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
See you again.
That was great.
Yeah. And very informative. I'm not kidding about this. I seriously do want to try and figure out how to go to this. You know, it's Boston and it's a city I've only been in for an hour and a half. So it's wrapping your head around.
I think you would find it a lot like Louisville, which I love.
Maybe. Yeah.
I love the festival and I love Louisville. So Boston would be great.
I wanted to wrap the show up with something that happened this week that I was really, really excited for. Our old buddies Repeat Repeat launched a new song. It came out this past week. It's called Arrangements. And I'd like to play it to finish the show, if you don't mind.
Love it.
Yeah, if you haven't heard it, and if you're not familiar with Repeat Repeat, Jared and Kristen, we love them with all of our hearts. They're two of the best people you'll ever find. And I think the song is incredible. I think the song is incredible. It's like 007, you know, it's just so, so well done. So I want to wrap up with giving them and their new single a spin here. Barry Corder, Lord Taco, anything else before we go?
Have a great week.
Oh, by the way, if you've made it this far and you work or operate Boston Calling, I would love to come to your festival.
I agree.
Love to come and
pick me up on the way up.
Yeah. Anything that you guys want from us, we will be there.
That's right. Apparently they listened to our show last week and liked what we had to say.
Oh, good. Well, please, if you want the What Podcast part of your festival, you just let us know.
We can be on.
We will. Very rarely are, but boy, we're possibilities out there. Yeah. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Consequence Podcast Network. Well, hello there. This is Brad Steiner.
This is Barry Corder.
And after you check out the latest episode of the What Podcast, be sure to check out some of the other great programs on the Consequence Podcast Network, including...
Rootsland. It's an original story of two friends who take a musical and spiritual journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the streets of Kingston, Jamaica.
Or Kyle Meredith With, where you can find interviews with all of your favorite musicians and bands. Hosted by our guy, Kyle Meredith. New episodes air weekly on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Head to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.